All right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was some good worship. So now that God's presence is here, we have invited Him. Father, this is Your house. We ask You, fill it to the full. Awaken us. Open the eyes of our heart. Help us to see in Your Word and bring us into an intense expectation and excitement into this adventure of co-laboring with You and seeing Your kingdom come and Your will be done on the campus of Tennessee Avenue through our lives, on earth as it is in heaven. We call it here now in Jesus' name, and we worship You for that, Father. Amen. All right, going to talk a little bit about prayer tonight. So if you would, we're going to start out in 1 Kings. I'm going to read you two passages of Scripture. The first one's in 1 Kings 18. And I'm going to read one verse and then move on, skip on into the chapter and read a few more. But if you'll just stop at 1 Kings 18:1, and we'll start there. And then the next one is James 5. So that's at the very back of your Bible. So that's the two spots we're going to work off of. Okay. So this is deep into the past, into the Old Covenant, into the time of Elijah. And this story is around the time where Elijah and Jezebel are kind of going back and forth. And Elijah has a great, incredible win. And as he, you know, it was sort of like a battle of powers. And God wins, I should say. And he gets to slaughter all of these prophets of Baal, and it was a big win. So that's this period of time right here in chapter 18. But I wanted to start out with the first verse in chapter 18, because that kind of sets the story and gives us helps us understand what it is we've got to be hoping in. Okay, so chapter 18, verse 1, and it says that it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, "Go present yourself to Ahab, I will send rain on the earth." Okay, so we want to make note of the fact that God has spoken to Elijah. Now, Elijah has a promise. Okay, now, before I get too far into this, you guys that need a title up there for this message, let's call it Pregnant with Promise. Okay, Pregnant with Promise. So, and there's a reason why I'm using that metaphor, but I know you men don't like that idea, but sorry, it's scriptural. So what we have here is Elijah has received God's word, but see, it's a word that has come from God into his heart, mind, and life. And he's the only one that has it. He's walking on the planet. God sent a heavenly word, a spiritual word, to his man Elijah, who he is in relationship with. Okay, so they have a trust and a faith with one another that's strong. Elisha is doing his level best to be God's spokesman on this planet. Okay, so God has given him the word and said, "I'm going to do this." Now, the difficulty for men and women of God who receive words from God like that, the biggest problem, or one of the big problems that they have, is the timing of it. When are you going to bring rain? Is that 2,000 years in the future? I mean, when is this actually going to happen? Because, see, God's outside of space and time, and so he'll give you words sometimes, or you'll feel you've been told something. And that's how lots of people who believe that they're hearing from God can look like they've got it completely wrong, because maybe they really did get a word, but they didn't get the timing right. See, even Jesus had a problem with that one, right? Y'all remember this? He's 12 years old. He's ready to go. He's at his father's house. He's let the parents go on back home because he's ready to get down to business. He's doing his thing there, and God says, "It's not time yet, buddy. Go head back home with your mom and dad. Surrender to your parents and keep on living your humble human life." See, Jesus had the timing wrong. And so, and we know that in Hebrews it says that he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I'm sure that was a blow to Jesus. What? I'm ready right now. No, John the Baptist isn't ready though, son. See, we got to have somebody who's going to present you. That's in the Word. Okay, so you just got to trust me, and Jesus did. There wasn't any sin in that. There wasn't any sin. He obeyed. But see, it's difficult when you're talking to a God who knows all, and time is not really an essence to him. So when he's giving a word, we have to have wisdom and discernment and understanding and rhythm and understanding what God's doing in the bigger picture, and know the timing. All those are issues of maturity. But the point is that Elisha does have the word, okay? And God's telling him, go present yourself to Ahab, which that is like a death sentence potentially to him. So we're talking about this type of obedience is a big deal. It wasn't like it's time to go see your friend Ahab. No, he was going into the lion's den. He's giving his entire life and trust in what happens to him to God by following him and letting God do what he's going to do through his life. Okay, so we're going to skip over a bunch of stuff here to verse 41, okay? So if you'll just go on into the chapter to verse 41. And then he says, "Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundant rain.'" There is the sound of abundance of rain. So again, he gets the timing because he has a sense of this thing is coming now. Oh my goodness, the timing is now. He gave me the word. I've done what he told me to do. Now I can sense it is on the way. And so that sets him into motion doing his part of the bringing the will of God into this earth. Okay, because we do have a part. God just set it up this way. He wants to do what he's going to do through us. In relationship. He didn't have to do it that way. He decided to do it that way. And that is the way that it is. Okay, so he's calling Elijah into his position in the co-laboring partnership. So, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. And then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And seven times he said, "Go again." And then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up. Say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and the wind. There was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Okay, so what we're seeing here is the power of prayer. Okay? Now, what we're looking for is how do we respond to God's promises? And how do we learn how to work with him to change human history, to shape what is happening around us because of God's desire to move through us to deliver these promises that he would give. Of course, there's several things that go into it. But the first thing I want to mention here about this story is, verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground and he put his face between his knees. Now, getting into that position for intercession is what he's doing, okay? He's getting into his position to bring heaven to earth, to bring the word of God that he's received, and to do his part, which is agreement. It's faith and it's agreement. And he's getting into a specific position to do so. in that ancient period of time, that would be the birthing position. That's the position that a woman would get into to give birth. You know, they don't do it like we do it. Okay, it was different all through those times. You can look at that's one of the interpretations of this passage of why he got into that particular position, and that's what I believe it is as well. If you wanted to not believe that, then just believe he's getting into a position in which his entire focus is upon that word. He's giving intense focus to bringing God's will and way into the earth. That's what he got completely focused on. Now, the reason why I think it was a birthing is because there's some other things I'm going to share about other passages of Scripture, and also the fact that I've been around a woman giving birth 4 times. Naturally, she didn't have anything. It was just as God deemed her to have a baby, we had that baby, and she just waited it out, and I waited with her. And the closer it gets to time for that baby to get born, the more intensity is involved, where you're not doing anything at all except giving birth. That's what your entire purpose is in that moment. And so it gives you the picture of this intense focus upon bringing life into the world through your life in a very literal way. And that's what Elijah was doing, I believe. As the man of God, he was doing his part in co-laboring with God to bring the rain. Okay? Is that understandable? Okay, so let's jump to James real quick, and we're going to look at this. It's the same story, just told a different way. And we could start in verse 17 there. I had it back to 13. Well, let's just read 13, because this is applicable in a lot of different ways. Let's start in verse 13. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Now, we could answer that. We could ask that question. Is there anybody? We get there fast, don't we? If you're not right now, wait till tomorrow. Okay? You'll be reminded of something you're suffering about, or it will remind you of something or someone else. Or we're going through suffering, right? This is a difficult life that we live in, isn't it, Miss Beulah? We just talked about this morning. It doesn't take long before we check into the pain of this life and the suffering that can come with it, right? So this is a common thing. It's what we're dealing with. Is anyone among you suffering? He says, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I just had that done Sunday night, and it was part of the breakthrough of what I was suffering through, because I've been suffering. I suffered over the weekend because these things come. And when they come, are you entering into this benefit that we've been given, which is sharing the weakness, sharing the suffering, and having someone else pray fervently for you? Who cares? Who you know cares? Applying this power we've been given to deliver healing and help and deliverance and freedom. There's power in it, guys. We can do all of it we want. We can get better and better at it and see more suffering alleviated. See more of the kingdom come instead of just the enemy getting to beat everybody up and destroy everything. This is what we've got to get into. It says, in the prayer of faith, we'll save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven. And then he says, confess those sins. Confess your trespasses, your sins, your weaknesses to one another. And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Okay? The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And then this is the story here. He says, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And then it finishes up talking about, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, someone turns him back, let them know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. And I think this whole section is talking about the same thing. Open your heart up to the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman and let that heal you. Let God move and touch your life and change your situation. And he's saying, do this. He gives us the example of Elijah. And so let's look at it real quick. He says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you look up those words, fervent, for instance, it's an intensity factor and it's an expectancy, right? What do we say when a woman's pregnant? She's expecting, right? It's in there and it's going to come out one way or the other. She is expecting to see this baby. Are we the same way with God's words that he's given us? Do we really expect them to come to pass? Seriously? Are we ready to walk out the months that it takes sometimes for a prayer to grow and for things to be prepared for the will of God to be given birth to? And are we ready to get through those last intense moments where that baby actually comes? I remember the first time, Joshua, my first time witnessing such a thing. Oh my gosh. Her water breaks. We rush her to the hospital. Again, we're doing this natural, so she's never experienced this before. And Arita is tough. I'm talking this woman is tough. That's why I'm so afraid of her. I've seen what she can do. And I'm like, hey, respect. But this first time, she didn't know what was happening, really. And so, she didn't understand, because you don't know till you've done it. And so it was starting to get time, man. And so she was getting kind of, really worked up, because she'd been working, it'd been working on her all night, and she was doing okay, but now it's really getting to her. She felt like she had to go to the bathroom, so we got up, we went into the bathroom. We had Joshua at the hospital with what's called a doula, who's like a person that's been coaching us and training us, and so it's sort of done in a, we had the other three at the house, but anyway, TMI, sorry, I just had to say that. So we're at the hospital, and we run to the bathroom, and we figure out she doesn't have to go to the bathroom. She has to have a baby is what's happening. And so as soon as she realizes that the pain that she's feeling and that it's coming on her now, like these things, this is on it, she gave me this look. I've never seen anything like it. But she went sort of, it was like a look of complete terror that I had never seen on another human's face, because I'm really sheltered. I haven't really experienced much in life at all. Not a lot of trauma or pain or anything. So that look on her face is like, and I went, oh, dear God. And I went white as a sheet, and they rushed her in there to have the baby, and I was going down. And I looked at myself in the mirror, and I was white as I could be. And I said, please, God, don't let me pass out right now. Oh, my goodness. So we're talking about intensity when this stuff happens. Intensity. And we're expecting something to come. I mean, we're going to see a child here soon. And so as beautiful as that is, a new baby, we're talking about giving birth to the kingdom of heaven. Each one of us. And this is for males as well, because I know in Scripture, when Jesus is speaking about the Spirit like a river, he says, rivers of living water will flow out of your innermost being. And that word innermost being is koila in the Greek. It literally means womb. So even us guys, we have a spiritual womb that we can co-labor in the promises of God to see those things come to us and through us. And we just work with him, just like Elijah was not given birth to a human child. He was given birth to the Word of God. And man, so see that's expectant faith. That's like, this is really going to happen. I mean, God spoke this, and he's not a liar, and he's going to do it through me, and I'm going to stick with this, and I'm going to focus on this until it comes to pass. So part of our problem is we have so much around us that there's just so many little other things to fiddle with that just take our attention away from what's most important. You know, our first world issues. You know, and so we don't focus in on those things that can really shift the environment and bring about the life of God in a way that sets some others free. And that's what we've got to get more in alignment with. So those two stories, basically the same one, teaching us a little bit about how this works. So let's jump to 2 Peter 1:4 and see what that has to say. Let me see, I got it marked here. 2 Peter 1:4. Actually, let's start it with 3 and we'll go through 5 maybe. It says, as his divine power. Man, divine power. Think about it, guys. We have divine power has been given to us. Okay? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My goodness, that's a powerful verse. But see, that's what we're talking about. Are we pregnant with the promise? Are we filling our minds with the ingredients? I mean, the power of our minds, guys. What all the faculties of the mind. One of those things is the imagination. What is the Word of God doing to your imagination? What are you imagining? If you just let things go, your fears are going to imagine for you a future that is not what God had in mind. And if you don't stop that, that's the problem with how powerful we are. We're created in His image. We're going to give birth to some of those things. We're going to act out things and influence things that would bring that bad thing to pass. Really, in a lot of ways, not totally and completely, but we're talking about how much we create, how much we influence, what we do. It has to do with what we're allowing in our imagination. That's why 2 Corinthians 10:4 says we have divine power to pull down vain imaginations and speculations and high things that exalt itself against. If you just let yourself go, it's going to go negative. And you're going to be influencing to bring negative things into your life, even good people. I mean, it's just the way we are. That's why you have to be vigilant, focused. What is the promise? What is my assignment? What is God doing through me at this particular time in this assignment? Am I on time? Am I in rhythm? Am I on purpose? Am I doing what God created me to do? Do I know what my workmanship is? Those are good things God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Am I walking in those things? That all of those things come into play here. So we get to co-labor. See that word co-labor? Labor pains? It's right in there. Giving birth to a new life. Matthew 24 is that whole chapter is Jesus giving a discourse on the end times to the disciples, and they're asking him, what's it going to be like? What's it going to be happening? He tells him all these things. It's going to be shaking, is basically what he's saying. That the world is going to be shaking. And you know what he calls that shaking? Birth pangs. Why? Because we're going to give birth to the kingdom. There's birth pangs before that. Are you focused in on that? Are you focused in on that? Or are you focused in on leaving? Because there's a lot of people just looking to check out. And I'm not saying anything negative about anybody's worldview, because all of them can be powerful and beautiful in their own way. But the point is that he's bringing the kingdom here. We're his representatives that he's chosen to utilize to make that happen. So we've got to be in the middle of his business. Again, I don't know what God's going to do exactly from now to the time that this place is perfected. I'm not sure everything that takes place. I just know I'm getting into Christ and in his rhythm. That's the only thing I know for certain. I cannot miss with that one. There's a lot of different scenarios that a lot of very, very gifted and smart theologians and very spiritually minded, powerful men and women of God believe. Which one's true? I'm just going with Jesus. In him. On assignment. And as far as I know, it's I'm supposed to be calling his realm here as best I can do that and becoming one with him. So those are just my, you could say they're my opinions. And that's fine. Apostle Paul gave his opinion, right? He wrote it in the Bible. He said, this is my opinion. I don't think you should get married. That's what he said. But God said that you should, so... Anyway, just throwing y'all a curveball. Okay, so Jesus taught his disciples. What time do we got? I'll lose myself here and not know where I'm at. Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See this thing? It's coming. I was talking about the rivers of living water and the spirit and the spiritual womb and the new life that comes. Matthew 11, 12 talks about let me read that one because I'm still circling around that verse. I'm not saying I know exactly what that means, but I think I am pretty clear about the intensity of it, the intensity of the kingdom coming, God's kingdom coming. Do y'all know how violently opposed the kingdom of heaven is? Oh my goodness. Darkness and hell is doing everything it can to hold it back. But it can't. It's going to be overpowered in this. So there's quite the clash. And I meant to say this about the Lord's Prayer. If you read the verb tenses in the Lord's Prayer where he's saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, it is a military-like get it done. It's a demand. It's a command. It's an invasion is what it is. That's the terminology. It's like, this is coming. Bring it. It's fiercely opposed. Crush them. Bring it. Intensely. See, that's expectant faith. That's taking the word of God and knowing that it's coming. And I'm living that way. The way that Elisha did with that prayer. He knew it was coming. He knew it. Matthew 11, 12, let's see here. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. See, that's a verse I continue to kind of meditate on, and I'm always asking the Lord, God, what do you mean by that? Help me understand that a little bit more. I want to know, and I think the bottom line of it all is that it's light against darkness. We're in a world at war. There's going to be clash here. There's going to be clashes. Who has a greater faith? Who claims this land? It's God's land. Malachi 4, 5, and 6 is another verse here. Gosh, we're going to have to stop. But guys, it's exciting. We get to be co-laborers bringing the kingdom, have an expectant faith. So get into the promises of God, man. We need to know what they are exactly about whatever it is you're struggling with, looking at those promises and then calling them forth, worshiping God. God, I praise you. I magnify you. I love you. I thank you. And then just bringing that declaration of truth. Bring your kingdom. Lord, bring your peace. Bring hope. Deliver people from bondage. Open the eyes of the blind. God, move in power in this church. Lord, you said you would do a new thing here, and I call forth the new thing in Jesus' name. Now, see, I'm not demanding from God. I'm demanding the enemy get out of the way. See, I'm not telling God what to do. He's told me to say it this way. Call it forth. Expect that what I said I'd do, I'll do. Expect it like a woman who's expecting new life. Isn't that good news? I'm telling you guys, we got a lot working for us. We got a lot going for us. So we're right on the dot here. Anybody need any prayer? We can pray. Everybody good? Okay. All right. Joey, you ready for practice?
Also, anybody that wants to go on the trip on Friday to Farmer's Daughter, not yet
to out in the vestibule for Farmer's Daughter Friday. Anybody that wants to go? Okay, doke. That's a good place to go, too. You guys jump on the bus. All right, let's pray. Father, we love you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've accomplished. May we know your words, Father. May we understand and be pregnant with your promises to bring them into this earth, Father. We ask you, teach us your ways. God, may we walk on your ancient path. May we step into the light by confessing our sins one to another and receiving prayer that we might be healed. Lord, may that be something that we do so effectively, seeing your kingdom come and your will being done. People set free and delivered, their eyes open to see the truth. Conversions, sons and daughters born into the kingdom, we pray you bring it to this church, Father. Bring it to our hearts. We call it forth now in Jesus' name. And we worship you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you're going to do. And Father, we just praise you tonight. I pray your blessing over your people, and it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You guys are extraordinarily blessed, so go have a blessed week. We'll see you Sunday morning.